This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn. He is Glenn West. And no, we're not talking about coaching news today. We actually decided to talk about on the field. LSU makes another addition. We appreciate you tuning in on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you might be watching or listening. Glenn, CJ Daniels, we reported that he was going to be visiting late last week. He visited on Friday. He liked it so much. He stayed on Saturday and canceled on Saturday night to go to Miami and announced his commitment officially on Sunday. Glenn, LSU just got one of the more underrated guys in the portal. There's been a lot of question marks, but you look at the size, you look at the stature, you look at the output that he's put at Liberty, although the schedule wasn't really impressive for Liberty this year. This is a guy who has all the makings, it feels like, of a number one receiver.
Yeah, I agree. Six foot two, 200 pounds, a guy that really had a strong 2023 season. He's a four-year starter with experience at Liberty. People want to obviously say, oh, it's just Liberty, but this is a guy that I think will really be able to come in and help you. He had some big games, even in the Fiesta Bowl blowout that Liberty had against Oregon. He had 8 receptions for 79 yards. But I wrote this morning and kind of our breakdown of what he'll bring to LSU. One of the things that really stood out to me in evaluating him and looking at kind of what he did on the field this last year, he was number 11 in the country in terms of yards after the catch yards per reception. LSU obviously is losing Brian Thomas. They're losing Malik Nabers this year. Those were big time playmakers, big play threats, guys that had 20, 25, 40, 50 yard plays on practically every game. So they need somebody to come in that can help kind of fill that role, fill those spots that you really were looking for in terms of just guys that can make you an explosive offense down the field. And I think this is going to really help Garrett Nussmeier in that respect. You got Kyron Lacy coming back. You've got Savion Thomas, who's an interesting big play threat as well. But behind those kind of guys, you don't really have a lot of returning experience. I mean, Chris Hilton is a guy that kind of saw some action a little bit later in the season. You're hoping that Aaron Anderson and Shelton Sampson, maybe Landon Ibieta, couple of these young guys that saw it for a year can get involved a little bit more going forward. And that's kind of where I think I'm at with a lot of these guys, is that it's going to be a really big spring for a lot of the returning receivers. So what you get in a guy like Daniels here is someone who's proven it at this level. He hasn't obviously faced an SEC schedule or SEC defensive backs or anything like that, but somebody that I think you're going to be able to really bring in here, get acclimated pretty quickly to the system and to what LSU wants to do, throwing the ball and see kind of where the chips fall from there. But I think absolutely this is a guy that can be a huge, huge contributor for the passing offense next year. It's very interesting that LSU is really attacking the receiver room. This was not a room that I figured would be a huge in terms of pursuit at this late in the stage and in the off season. But yeah, LSU figures that they want to bring in a lot of competition here at receiver because they're losing so much of their production from last year. They want to get a bunch of guys into the ring here, throw them out there in spring and see which ones kind of stick and which ones really rise to the top, going into the summer months there. So it makes sense on from that perspective, but I think I'm kind of also in the camp here of, when are we going to get some defensive backs and defensive tackles? There's a lot of other needs on the team. But I think certainly the way that they've been pursuing wide receiver tells you they think there's going to be some serious competition there. And there's a lot of jobs open here for the taking coming up here in the spring.
Yeah, talking with some folks that were obviously involved in this decision. I mean, Daniels, look, the body of work that he put together at a lower level speaks for itself. I think this is the good of the transfer portal that fans and everyone likes to see. A guy that balls out, maybe not highly recruited, but balls out where he needs to be, and then does the work necessary to get a chance to prove himself. And, for Daniels, the feeling was essentially, hey, kind of accomplished everything I wanted to. Liberty went undefeated, got to a New Year's Six Bowl. There's what else more could you really do there? And then from a stats perspective, obviously a dynamic 2023 season. You outlined a lot of it. One thing that I don't know, and I was thinking about this as we were getting ready to record, I know they have some good length, some good size in terms of the inexperienced guys, and those are talented guys in that room. But when you look at the additions they brought, Xavion Thomas around 5'11", 190 pounds, Kyron Lacy, Chris Hilton, Aaron Anderson, even Ibieta.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS! Here's where we can see them!
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island that got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9, 8 central. On CBS. And streaming on Paramount+.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
The big-bodied receiver was kind of missing from this group. And so I think, Glenn, maybe when you look at what C.J. Daniels brings to the table here is a guy that, like you mentioned, that size, the ability to go up and get the football, compete down in the red zone. I mean, I went and watched a lot of his highlights yesterday. This is a guy who he was dynamic, in the red zone and in the red area. And that's a place where LSU wants to be really good at and give Nussmeier another option. So I think, from the surface level, yes, I put the tweet out there that he was going to visit. More than half the mentions were people just saying, where are the DTs? Where are the defensive linemen? Where's all this stuff going? But when you kind of peel back the curtain a little bit and look at this, from what you had in the room, and you highlighted it there, you have talent, not necessarily a ton of experience, and then the need for a framework guy. I mean, look, Brian Thomas kind of filled that role even 2 years ago and this year as a big-bodied guy, a guy that can go up and get the football, high point the football for you in that red zone area. Look, we saw what Garrett Nussmeier did in that bowl game. Now that we kind of look at it from that perspective, does it make a little more sense of why they said, hey, we need a guy that can go up and get the football while we have all these other playmakers around him that can stretch the field, can run the underneath routes like a Malik Nabers did this past year?
Oh, sure. I think you kind of throw in the fact here that they also bringing in a guy, like you said, that can not only go up and get the ball. This is a guy who can also make big plays in the open field too. Like he can make guys miss. He's very fast for his size. And I will say, I think Kyron Lacy's around 162. So maybe he's a little bit of a bigger bodied receiver, but he's not one that's going to go up and challenge in the one-on-one balls, maybe like a Brian Thomas did last year, or maybe like a CJ Daniels could maybe do for you this year. He's very much more of a vertical guy, somebody that you get out in space and can make some things happen. I think you're hoping that Shelton Sampson can take that next step as a player too. And this is going to be a huge, huge spring for him, for Aaron Anderson, for a couple of different guys in this receiver room, because they're bringing in numbers. They've got a lot of numbers now in this wide receiver room. You mentioned Kylan Billiott. Kyle Parker, I think, is somebody that I know a couple of LSU staffers are really excited about, see what he kind of looks like in his second year in the program. So there's a lot of momentum here for this room. I think Garrett Nussmeier is going to have no shortage of weapons that he gets to work with this offseason. This is going to be a really important offseason, though, for a lot of these guys. And they're bringing in Daniels, they're bringing in Xavion Thomas for a reason. And I think it's because they think that they can contribute and help this team win immediately. And now I think kind of the focus here is, and we'll get into it a little bit more, I think the focus, though, is going to have to be on what you do on the defensive side of the ball, but also what the future of this wide receiver room looks like, because you're bringing in a couple veterans. You always, when you bring in veterans and when you bring in competition and guys you think that can help you in the immediate, next. And how LSU is able to navigate that through the spring is going to be really, really telling once that second transfer portal window opens up.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about competition. There's not going to be a lack of it when we get to head out to spring practice here in a couple months, of just guys that can make plays. And guys, too, that you talk about, I mean, a lot of the freshmen from last year that are going to be entering that second year. Look, this is the proving ground, and I feel like your second spring, if you were an early enrollee, or your first true spring practice, is really where you kind of feel, especially in today's day of college football, is this the place for me? You know, if I don't feel like I'm going to have a spot, maybe you do enter that portal window of a team that's looking for a high, profile receiver. And LSU has a lot of those guys on the roster as well. You mentioned the commits they have. Billiott was received rave reviews at the All-American Bowl, just his raw athleticism, and a guy that we saw really, Glenn, rise up the ranks, not only in the state of Louisiana, but as each 24/7 did their updated rankings, Billiott was a guy that just continued to rise. A lot of other fun names to mention, but man, we kind of talk about this one. What's the deal with LSU and five-star wideout Ryan Williams? Now, if you're been living under a rock and you haven't taken advantage of that great deal we have on over at Go247. Today is the final day, January 15th, by the way, that you can take advantage of it, 60% off that annual VIP membership. Ryan Williams, the five-star reclassified receiver, was a 2025 guy, reclassified to 2024 back in December, was originally committed to Alabama, has backed off of that pledge now. Auburn seemed to be the heavy threat, but obviously coming out today, and then we listed in a piece this morning where Williams was rumored to be wanting to take a visit to LSU. That seems to be set to happen this week, January 17th. He's also got a couple more lined up, with Auburn receiving the final one before National Signing Day. Look, the Sarah Land High School native, the Mobile, Alabama native, is not too far from Baton Rouge. Glenn, from my personal, and I'll just kind of give this and then throw it over to you, I've seen this kid play at the high school level. I've seen him in camps. Folks talk about this kid. This is one of the more naturally gifted receivers they feel like we've seen over the past couple of cycles. It makes sense why LSU is involved here. The question for me is this a kid taking, doing his due diligence, going and visiting and listening to what everyone has to offer? Or is this more of a situation where LSU, once they get him on campus, which they've had good success with, they really get to get that pitch in with a Joe Sloan and a Cortez Hankton about, hey, this is how we can take you from five-star to day one draft pick, which they really have a nice track record of.
I think that part of it speaks for itself. You go back and you look at the recent history of LSU receivers and them pumping talent into the NFL. I mean, you go back just 4 or 5 years ago, and it's Ja'Marr Chase, it's Justin Jefferson, it's Terrace Marshall, it's Kayshon Booty last year, it's going to be Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas this year. I don't know if there are two programs maybe in the country. I mean, you could maybe look at Ohio State, maybe look at maybe one other in the country. I'm even blanking on another team that could maybe rival what LSU's done from a receiver perspective over the last half decade or so. But there's a long history here of LSU being able to get those big talented receivers into the next level. And for a five-star like Ron Williams, a guy who's so highly touted and publicized over the last several months, that's the end game for somebody like him. And you look at what LSU just did with their offense in 2023. I know NIL, I know all this is but if we're just looking at a purely on-field perspective, LSU has made it known that they're going to lean into their passing game. They're going to lean into their offense, and they're going to try to win that way and score a lot of points and look good doing it too. I mean, it's not just scoring a lot of empty points. They look really, really good this last year when they were clicking. And I think there's reason to believe that can continue, especially when you look at what's also coming in with guys like Bryce Underwood and Harlan Berry and DeCorian Moore, who are all committed at this time to the future of the program. A five-star like Ryan Williams looks at this and says, hey, I could potentially have a guy in Garrett Nussmeier who's been in the system for 3 or 4 years and then maybe turn that over to another guy in Ricky Collins or Colin Hurley who have been in the system for a couple years. And then you got the big five-star Bryce Underwood coming in a couple of years as well. Like that sets me up for a long time of having really, really standout quarterback play. So I think that'll be a part of the pitch to Williams when he comes in, is just looking at what LSU's done, not only from a receiver perspective, but also what they have coming in at this time to the program and what the offense for LSU has meant to the success of this team over the last couple of years can't be understated as well. So there's a lot of reasons to believe on the field why adding somebody like this would make a lot of sense and why he would be interested in LSU. But you've got to compete with a lot of other programs here. I mean, Alabama's not going to go away. Auburn certainly is a team that's really in the mix there for his services as well. I think he's making a couple other visits even after LSU. So it better be a really, really good impression, because I think LSU first on the list for him in terms of visits. And we all know kind of towards the last team that usually gets a guy like this on campus and is able to make that pitch is usually considered to be among the front runners for him. And so if LSU can get him in here early, make that pitch to him, show him that there's a path to playing early and a path to having a lot of success as early as this season, because he's a 2024 guy, then more power to him and more power to LSU if they're able to pull this off, because that would be a huge, huge coup for LSU to get somebody of this caliber, this talented into the program here at this latest stage in the 2024 cycle.
Yeah, and it would speak volumes, I think, more of Glenn, not where the concerns are with the wide receiver room, but more of, I mean, this is a guy who was the top receiver in the 2025 class and then reclassifies, and he's still like top three or four. I mean, this is more of like you pick up the phone, you make the call, because this guy's just such a great talent. And it brings the question, let's just play the hypothetical game. Let's say that Ryan Williams, there's a genuine interest, which I think there should be in LSU, and let's just play the hypothetical game, say they bring him in. But whether they bring him in or not, the future of this wide receiver room at LSU, Glenn, I mean, look, there's a lot of names, a lot of mouths to feed here. You know, wide receivers are typically guys that, you know, you have to have a little ego to play the position, both that and cornerback. They want to get the ball. Do you see when this spring portal window opens back up, if, you know, maybe some decisions are set or maybe some roles are a little bit more clearly defined post-spring ball, could there be some attrition at this position heading into kind of the summer months?
Yeah, I haven't done a full breakdown of kind of the numbers right now. I think you got three freshmen, you've got two second-year players in Shelton Sampson and Kyle Parker. You've got Landon Ibietta. You've got Aaron Anderson, Chris Hilton, Kyron Lacy, and then the two transfers. So yeah, you're up there with like eight or nine guys, I think, right now, just in terms of just pure numbers. And all of those guys, or practically all those guys, are four-star, five-star kind of caliber players that all want the ball, all want to see playing time. It kind of reminds you a little bit of just kind of maybe not exactly, but like the running back situation last year. You had eight running backs back there, And just not everybody was going to get on the field. Not everybody was going to get a chance. And you saw the mass exodus that just happened with the running back room this last year. I'm not saying that's going to happen in the spring. I think if you kind of go in and you help define roles for these guys, then it might give them an opportunity or might give them kind of the vision of what it could look like if you put in the hard work this summer and you come back this fall and really kind of take that next step as a player. But at the same time, like, there's always going to be blood in the water on these guys and in terms of like other programs wanting them to be a part of that, what they're building, and the transfer portal being such an easy path now to getting on the field elsewhere. It wouldn't be a bit surprising to me if LSU lost a guy or two after this, especially if you're able to add somebody like Ryan Williams into the mix or receiver X. I mean, even CJ Daniels here is going to throw in kind of a jumble in terms of what the rotation looks like early in the spring and who's going to be getting what reps and that kind of thing as well. So it's much about, you know, control and quality control, damage control, however you want to put it, like in terms of just keeping everybody happy. And it's a situation where you might not be able to keep everybody happy, but you've got a lot. But I think that it's also the position you want to be in. If you're LSU, you want to have a plethora of talent. You want to have guys that, you know, you're going to be able to count on next year. And we'll see kind of how the spring plays out. I think this will become a lot more clear once we get into the second, third, fourth week of spring practice and who's kind of maybe asserting themselves more in that rotation, who's taking the Malik Nabers reps, the Brian Thomas reps, the guys that are going to be highly targeted in this offense from Nuss. There's a lot of interesting possibilities here for LSU, and I think we won't get a clear picture until we get to see in the spring, but there are a lot of numbers here and a lot of guys that are going to want the ball and want to see playing time on the field next year. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, as we wrap it up here, it's a spot that you want to be in. You don't want to be in that room if you're Cortez Hankton looking around saying, okay, we only got four or five guys that I really feel good about. No, you have, like you said, seven, eight, maybe even nine mouths to feed that might all be capable of getting on the field when Labor Day weekend comes around out there in Las Vegas. That's a good problem to have and a good place to be as a program, you know, with LSU. You want to be worried about attrition because there's too much talent, not because of other reasons. And that's where LSU sits as a program, especially here in the middle of January.
But maybe they sit in the receiver room. That's where they sit in the receiver
room.
Yes. Other areas where I'm sure they would love to have that problem that they just certainly don't have it right now. So they're going to be working towards that, I know, here over the next several months and years. But we'll end it there. That's a good way to end it.
Yeah, because we talk about defensive line. That could be a whole nother podcast episode. And maybe it should be. But, hey, you can catch us on YouTube, Go247. Search it there. All things LSU all the time. You guys have been killing it watching and taking in the content we've been putting out since the turn of the year. We appreciate that as well. And it also, too, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We know a lot of you listen as well, so you don't have to see Glenn and I's faces. And we understand that as well. Maybe we have faces for radio. And
I got ugly backdrops, too. Like, my friends were actually tuning into a couple of them last week, and they were saying, why don't you have anything on your walls back there? It just looks so plain and ugly, and I just don't have anything. So maybe you guys can send me some stuff that I can hang up there and make it a little bit more interesting.
We'll start a GoFundMe for Glenn's podcast backdrop. That's what we'll do. But, hey, thanks so much for tuning in. And once again, like we said, if you're watching this or listening this today when we record it, it is Monday, January 15th. Today's the last day that you can take advantage of the 60% off annual VIP membership. It's going to be linked down below wherever you're watching or listening to this. We would love for you to join the community, get the latest tidbits, recruiting news, transfer portal, and coaching changes that we have going on, because, man, this first 2 weeks of January have been absolutely crazy and a great time to be on the website. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you again here soon on the Go 24/7 podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.